Many teachings suggest that we not pursue states of jhana. Quote, if they happen, great, if not, don't worry. But in a room full of about 60 devoted meditators, it seems unlikely that any of us are achieving this type of absorption. If we were, then the chiming of the bowl would be disrupting many people's jhanic states of meditation. Is jhana really quite rare? Well, one, I actually mentioned it today because that, the word jhana, Ajahn Chah would just stay away from using it because it tends to have a lot invested in it and a lot of assumptions about its powers and or its characteristics. And it's a word that is, say, more literally mean, and sometimes it's translated as absorption, so that when the mind is really absorbing into an object, and of course the object could be the breath, it could be an object of reflection, and there's varying degrees of how settled and clear. So that's why Ajahn Chah would emphasize more the aspect of settled, steady, composed. And this is absolutely desirable. I mean, it's necessary to be cultivating these qualities of composure and clarity and settled. And and then to whatever degree one can, then one should be putting forth effort to try to realize more refined and more still states of mind. Whatever kind of level it's called in the books, who knows what it is. But I think it's important to be attending to the mind in a way that allows it to settle, allows it to become more clear, and that's it's a gift to oneself. It becomes problematic when you're trying to measure yourself too much and lining it up according to what somebody else says is what this is or that is, and it ends up getting confusing. But when you experience a state of well-being and clarity, you know that, and you know what it feels like.